You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Another edition of Answers for the Family. I am your co-host, Dr. Melody Fox, along with Alan Cardoza, with both of us having over 30 years experience working with teens and their families. We have both been very fortunate enough to work with and interview many other professionals that also have a passion for children and their families. Now, Alan, you haven't heard his voice yet because he is out on assignment today, so it'll just be you, me, and our guest, who I'm very, very excited about having with us today. Our guest today is Gretchen Holt-Witt, and she is the founder of Cookies for Kids Cancer and has worked with clients from a variety of industries, but found her home working with a wide range of housewares brands, including Hamilton Beach, Proctor Silex, Chicago Culturally, Circulon, Anilon, oh, they make my favorite pans, and KitchenAid Cookware, and is now the director of public relations strategies for OXO in New York City. Now, in 2007, her career achievements really took a back seat when her son Liam was diagnosed with pediatric cancer and committed to doing all she could to bring attention to the need many people aren't aware of. She and her husband founded Cookies for Kids Cancer, raising millions of dollars to date. And back in January 2010, Gretchen was named one of Women's Day Magazine's 50 Women Who Are Changing the World and was also honored by Traditional Home Magazine at the 2010 Classic Women's Awards. So today's topic is the Cookies for Kids Cancer Best Bake Sale Cookbook that supports pediatric cancer research, because Gretchen wrote this and I'm so excited. Gretchen, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Oh, my gosh, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm really excited about this. Well, first off, it's a cookbook, and I love cookbooks. And then it's all about cookies, which who doesn't love a good cookie?
And you've drank the water already. You're saying the right thing.
Well, I just think it's wonderful. I mean, you the cookbook started, I mean, you did the Cookies for Kids Cancer nonprofit was founded way back when, but you've done so many other things before the cookbook came to be. So how did this cookbook come along?
Through the grace of God, I think, honestly. So essentially what happened, the quick timeline, was that in February of 2007, my son Liam was diagnosed with cancer. On the day he was diagnosed, he actually went to school. And I think that's important to note, because a lot of people want to believe that there was some smoking gun symbol or some way that I must have known that my child was really sick. Mm-hmm. No, actually, pediatric cancer is often called the silent killer, because by the time it's diagnosed, it is so far progressed that in many cases, unfortunately, almost nothing can be done except for palliative care. So in our case, we were lucky that we could treat him. And so we got him back to the point of good health. He was cancer-free. Things were wonderful. But it kept bothering me what his oncologist said to me the day after he was diagnosed, which was that kids don't make headlines because nobody cares about a kid who gets cancer. And furthermore, pediatric cancer is one of the most unfunded diseases. It receives so little funding that it's just mind-boggling. And yet, it's the number one disease killer of children in the U.S. So that kept eating away at me, and I said, okay, my son's fine, so now I need to go and give back. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Mm-hmm. And I was sitting on the steps of his school, and he was in school with all of his classmates, and life was grand. And I knew that the holidays were coming up, and it's the time of year when we all scurry around looking for the perfect gift, not only that we feel good about giving, but the recipient loves to receive as well. And I started thinking about how people love to bake during the holidays, and there's an awful lot of cookie packages and fresh fruit platters that are shipped all over the country for people who are near and far. Mm-hmm. So I thought, okay, I'm going to get my friends together and we'll bake some cookies. And then the question was, oh, right, how many cookies? And the idea popped into my head after doing some number crunching of 96,000.
Wow.
Seemed like a reasonable number.
Wait. How could you figure that's a reasonable number? I mean, I think doing 4 or 6 dozen is reasonable, but you're saying 96,000 cookies.
96,000. Yeah, well, you know, it didn't seem like a reasonable number. I knew 80 families at the time who were going through the same type of cancer that my son was battling. Uh-huh. I had heard the statistic that on average, a Girl Scout can sell about 100 boxes of Girl Scout cookies. So I had 8,000 dozen or 96,000 cookies. Okay. Reasonable, right?
All right.
So, you know, why not? I think that I had so much love, and I have so much love in my heart for my son and for all children, that anything seemed possible. Anything.
Yeah.
It just
seems so overwhelming having faked so many before.
Yeah, so, sorry. So I set about the task, and it actually was incredibly hard, but as long as I was focused mm-hmm. and just looking at the immediate task at hand,
sure.
we actually achieved it. So not only did we bake with the help of 250 volunteers all 96,000 cookies, but more importantly, we sold them, because it's one thing to bake the cookies, but then you have to sell them. So we sold them and raised over $420,000, and realized that we had struck a nerve with people, in that we had come up with something, a way to introduce people to the concept of pediatric cancer that invited them in. It was just so irresistible that people couldn't turn their backs. Mm-hmm. That led to the development of Cookies for Kids Cancer as a year-round organization. We launched in September of 2008 during Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. I don't know if you know that September is Pediatric Cancer Awareness Month. I certainly didn't. And then about a year or so, maybe 2 years later, we started talking with Wiley, John Wiley and Sons, our publisher, and started talking about the idea of coming up with a book where we share all of our best bake sale tips, and we also profile hosts from around the country who have poured their hearts and souls into organizing events for pediatric cancer awareness and fundraising.
Yeah, and I went on your website, and which is www.cookiesforkidscancer.org, which is a wonderful website, and I noticed that you have a calendar of events, and it's all over the country of people putting in their event of selling their cookies or doing bake sales.
Exactly. We have literally hundreds of events that are either going on or in the planning stages at any given day and time. And the fact that my little, although, okay, slightly ambitious, first bake sale to raise money for a specific kind of pediatric cancer has now grown into a national movement where we support all kinds of pediatric cancers, is just, it just boggles my mind. I have a hard time wrapping my head around it, and I'm so incredibly humbled and so honored that people say, yes, mm-hmm. we can do better by our children. Yes, we want to get involved. Yes, we too want to be good cookies.
Yeah, and I like that when you put on your website, be a good cookie. That's really catchy, because everybody wants to be a good cookie and you know, and be a good person and help other people. But so many families want to help, but they don't know how. And this way, they can get involved on the baking end and the selling mm-hmm. end to raise money. And they can also be on the other side of, maybe they're not a baker, but they can certainly enjoy the fruits of your labor and put some money back into the coffers to help the children and the research.
Absolutely. We, in addition to obviously holding an event to support Cookies for Kids Cancer, we sell cookies for those non-bakers or for people who want a gift box of cookies 365 days a year. We have 9 flavors, and plus we have different gift sets. And I think it's important to note that 100% of the profit goes directly to pediatric cancer research. And here's the best part. If you purchase a gift of cookies from our organization, you have a tax deduction, because you're actually making a donation to a nonprofit. It doesn't get any sweeter than that.
Mm. And I keep thinking, with the holidays coming up, people are looking for gifts to give to family members when they go on vacation or go over to their friend's house for the holidays. And what a great gift that gives to everybody.
I hope so. I think so. I mean, I certainly have never met a cookie that I don't like. And, you know, I think that we all need to exercise moderation in our life, but there's certainly, there is nothing wrong with eating a good cookie every once in a while.
Oh, sure. I'm all for the moderation thing and trying to keep to that. It's kind of difficult when it's really good and tasty, but there's nothing like a really good sugar cookie or something. So, but I'm going back to, you mentioned you had 250 volunteers, and you said there was 80 families that you knew they had, their children were going through a similar thing that your child was. Mm-hmm. And did they all volunteer to be part of the volunteers? And how did you find these other volunteers to do the cooking? And how many kitchens or how long did it take?
I know, it was quite an operation. My personal feeling is that if you have a child who is battling cancer, you get a buy in terms of having to fundraise to go after this disease. Mm-hmm. With that said, I knew I was one of the fortunate ones in the sense that I had a very understanding employer who was very supportive throughout this whole process. We had an amazing insurance company. I mean, nobody ever hears that, but we actually had an amazing insurance company that was not causing any issues for us. And plus, my son was receiving treatment fairly locally. I mean, we needed to relocate when he was going through treatment to be close to the hospital, but we were not like a family from California that has to fly across the country and live in a Ronald McDonald House for months to receive treatment. So I wanted to rely on families as little as possible for their help in the kitchen, but instead use them as work with them to get the word out to their supporters of ways that they can help. Because one of the things that you mentioned earlier is that you just want to find a way that you can help, and you just want to find a way that you can get involved. But oftentimes, whether you're a child or adult, you feel helpless mm-hmm. when it comes to trying to help someone who is battling cancer. I mean, it's cancer is a very isolating disease, and it's very lonely, and you just want to feel like you can do something to help, and this is something very tangible that one can do. But in terms of the other volunteers, it was this crazy scenario of almost like pass it down the alley, where one person told one person, they told somebody else, they told somebody else, and so on and so forth. And it was this unbelievable experience of 18 consecutive days of baking. Each day was no less than 12 hours of baking because we didn't quite have the right equipment that we would need for making such a large amount of cookies mm-hmm. efficiently. And every day I would look up and I would just see groups of volunteers who I had never met before who heard the story and said, yes, we want to get involved. People were taking vacation days from work. People were calling in sick in some cases and spending 12 hours helping to bake and package and ship cookies.
Well, I think that's a great way. And I was sitting here while you were talking about that. I was thinking about what a great way for parents to get their teens and younger children to get together, get your cookbook, and be a good cookie, and do these bake sales and put all the funding back into your program.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of our very first schools that set up a Cookies for Kids Cancer Club is a school fairly close to you, Calabasas High School.
Oh, right up the street.
mm-hmm. Right up the street. They talk about a group of good cookies. Mm-hmm. There is a student who heard about our organization, decided that he was going to start his own Cookies for Kids Cancer Club at our school, at his school, and it's now one of the most sought after clubs that students can participate in. And again, it's not. I am not sitting here condoning people to sit around and eat cookies all day. What I am trying to do is to give people a tangible way that they can get involved in the fight against our nation's number one disease killer. All we want people to do is to get involved. And if having a bake sale is the easiest way to do that, then great. I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Now, are there any particular stipulations or anything for baking cookies and selling them? Commercially or through the nonprofit? Or are there, I'm thinking health codes and all this other stuff that people need to do. Do they need to worry about that, or is it just bake and sell?
No, absolutely. It's a really good question that you bring up. one of the interesting things about our organization, and this might sound a little crazy, about as crazy as the 96,000, is that we tell people, do not price anything at your bake sale. And put everything out with absolutely positively no prices, because what you're doing is you're asking somebody to make a donation to support pediatric cancer research. And in exchange for their donation, if they would like to take something from your array of delicious treats, then that's fine, because they then are a good cookie. Because to me, giving is from the heart, and you can't put a price tag on what somebody should give. And if somebody is walking by a bake sale, let's say they're walking by, walking their dog, and they only have a dollar in their pocket, and you have something that's priced at $2, they're going to walk by because they won't feel like they couldn't participate. But if instead what you're asking somebody to do is to make a donation from the heart, then you can never go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the beauty of it.
Because I know it sounds crazy.
Well, you're baking the cookies from the heart because it's something that you have a passion for and want to help. And then I really love the idea of people can make a donation. Actually, it could probably be 5 cents or $5 or $500. And they could choose to take a cookie or not or whatever. But
Right. But
they're doing a good cause and helping somebody else and helping in a way that they might not have had an opportunity to do otherwise.
Absolutely.
Now, I know it's much more than just a cookbook, so tell us what we'll find when we open up this wonderful book full of recipes.
Well, I'm sure that you have probably noticed, because I'm pretty sure you have a copy of the book. When you open it up, it is perfectly flat on the counter. And the reason is that even though the cover is hard, so it's a hardback book, there's a spiral bound inside of the book so that it lays flat, which is really convenient when you're cooking, because I've taken a 5-pound bag of sugar and put it on the pages of a cookbook in order for it to stay open while I'm trying to follow a recipe, and this makes it a lot easier. The other thing that you'll find is that there is a introduction, there's a chapter in the front of the book that explains the whole history of the organization and how we got to where we are today. And then as you're paging through, you'll see page after page of beautiful color pictures, not only of the wonderful recipes that are in the book, and there's more than 60 recipes in the book, but also of people from around the country, just like you and me, who are hosting events, young and old, of from everywhere. I mean, from 49 states out of 50 states, including Alaska and Hawaii, from all around the country. And then you'll read profiles of bake sale hosts from across the country, some young, some old, you name it, but people who have poured their heart and soul into this organization. And then on top of it, there are literally dozens of tips in the book on how to host the perfect bake sale. We shared the things that we have learned over the years so it would make it easier for somebody else who wants to get involved.
Oh, yeah. And what I like, too, is you have all these wonderful profiles of some of the bake sale hosts from across the country. Are there a couple that stand out in your mind that you could talk about?
I have to say, the Calabasas crew just blew me away, and maybe because they were the first school to start their own cookies club. But it was a freshman who started that, and I was just so... That's when I knew that we really had... our message was getting out there, because to have somebody... when I'm on the East Coast, from the West Coast, hear about our organization and be moved enough to get involved and not just say, wow, that's a great idea, but to actually do something, that's amazing. The power of that is just incredible. And I will never be able to thank that high school enough for getting involved. Every single registration literally brings tears to my eyes and literally makes me... It affirms my belief in the goodness of people, that if given a choice, people will do the right thing and they will get involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And given the opportunity, and it is amazing that they did hear about your program being so far away, because honestly, I hadn't heard of it. And I was so thrilled when I did, and I'm going, wow, that would have been great.
Well, I should point out that we're still fairly new. We are, in September, we celebrated our third year anniversary. So we're still a fairly new organization. We work with, you know, like any nonprofit, we try to get by spending as little money as possible. So we rely on a lot of volunteer power. Both my husband and I, who play an integral role in the organization, still work full time because neither one of us would feel comfortable drawing any kind of salary from the organization. And we're very focused on being as nimble as possible so that as much of every dollar that is donated goes directly to the researchers who are working on those advances that we need them to work on. Mm-hmm. There is a direct correlation between increasing research funds and decreasing mortality rates. And there is, I can't even begin to tell you how important it is to pediatric cancer research, to the advances of pediatric cancer research from private foundations like ours. They're relying on us. They're relying on you. They're relying on your listeners. And the crazy thing is, we can make a difference. The first bake sale that we held, that huge 96,000 bake-a-thon, mm-hmm. that treatment just became available in the middle of August.
Wow.
I mean, who heard of such a thing? I thought that it took billions of dollars to have any kind of impact. Who knew that it actually doesn't, and that we're seeing science move in real time.
Yeah, and I just keep thinking about the science of it. Are there a few facts about kids' cancers that you could share with us?
Oh, gosh, you know, I think that the best of the worst is that it is disease killer number one. It kills more children than asthma, AIDS, MS, and MD combined. Wow. And yet the treatments that we offer children basically in most cases are like junior versions of adult treatments. But you can't treat a child the same way as an adult. Kids' bodies are different. They're developing at a different rate than adults' bodies are. It's a totally different science. And until we start treating children like children and not treating them like smaller versions of adults, then we're not going to get anywhere. And the crazy thing is, as one of my son's oncologists said to me, it's not science that's holding us back, it's funding. And imagine how that feels to the mother of a child who's fighting for his life. Right. It basically means that there's a price tag on my child's head. And my child is priceless to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, and the thing is, though, there was actually a quote that you had on your website by the French philosopher and poet, which I just love. Even a minor event in the life of a child is an event of that child's world, and thus it is a world event.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
For every child, it is priceless, and every child and every person makes a difference and an impact here on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, absolutely. And I think that we tend to want to believe that it couldn't happen to us. Mm-hmm. You know, surely it can't happen to us. But the fact remains the same, that pediatric cancer can strike any child anywhere. It doesn't matter how much money you make or how little money you make, how much education you have, or whatever the case might be. None of us are immune from it. I didn't dance under power lines. I was not a five-pack-a-day smoker. Neither was my son. He didn't live a slovenly lifestyle. He was 2.5 when he was diagnosed with cancer. 2.5. And he had his life in front of him, and it was a glorious life. It's just not right. We can do so much better by our children.
Yeah, and I keep thinking, you know, people don't need to wait until something happens to someone they know and love
to do
something and make a change and to help support finding cures before they need the cure.
Right. Exactly. And that, you know, I the way that my story sometimes is painted is that I was a desperate mother trying to save her child by baking this, you know, audaciously large number of cookies. But that is not the case. He was cancer-free. It was just the right thing to do. It was something that had to be done. And I suppose that after going through cancer treatment with my son and ripping him from the grips of cancer, I really felt like I just had the blinders had been ripped off, and I had to try anything that I could to make a difference. and a few dozen cookies wasn't going to do it. I really, really wanted to make a difference. But the beauty about our organization is that you can bake a few dozen cookies, bring them into your office, put out a donation jar, have a couple of brochures, have some information about pediatric cancer, and ask people to give from the heart. It doesn't matter what you do. Just do something.
Just do something. And on that note, I want people to think about how they're going to do something. And we're going to take a quick break on Answers for the Family. Our guest today is Gretchen Holt-Witt, who is the founder of the wonderful organization of Cookies for Kids Cancer, and also has the new book, the new cookbook, the Cookies for Kids Cancer Best Bake Sale Cookbook. So stand by. We'll be right back to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And welcome back to Answers for the Family. I'm your co-host, Dr. Melody Fox, and Alan Cardoza, the other co-host, unfortunately, is not with us today, but that's okay because I love talking about what we're talking about today. And that is talking with our guest, Gretchen Holt-Witt, who is founder of the Cookies for Kids Cancer back in 2008. And she also wrote this wonderful cookbook with the help of many other contributors, I'm sure, the Cookies for Kids Cancer Best Bake Sale Cookbook that supports pediatric cancer research. And welcome back, Gretchen.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I certainly was not the only one who came up with those recipes. I have to say I know very little about creating a great cookie recipe, but I do know a good cookie when I taste one.
Okay. Now, speaking about good cookie when you taste one, now I know there's all these recipes. What are two of your favorite cookies in your cookbook?
Oh, gosh. Well, the first one's easy because it's the original one, the oatmeal chocolate chip cookie. There is something about a chocolate chip cookie when you add oatmeal that makes it literally irresistible, as I tell my friends, but I'll share it with you. I want to put on a feed trough and just go at it and eat all of them.
Well,
not the most attractive thing.
It's also healthy because it's oatmeal.
Oh, well, there you go. There you go.
And what's your second favorite in your cookbook?
Oh, gosh. They're all like babies. I don't know if I can pick a second one. I mean, I love the cheese bites. I love the Parmesan scones. I love the nuts. The brownies with the mocha frosting. Oh, my goodness. Those are simply, you shouldn't make them because you can't stop eating them.
So basically you'll never get around to selling them.
No. Absolutely not.
Actually, my mouth is drooling right now thinking of all these wonderful recipes. It sounds so wonderful. And you can tell that you've cooked before. Otherwise, you wouldn't have set it up so the book actually stands up the way it does. So I was really impressed with that.
Well, thank you. Although I have a very hard time accepting any kind of compliments because it's a team effort. And while, yes, my name is on the book, I can't tell you how many hundreds of people, thousands of people have gone into making this book, and their names deserve just as much attention.
Well, I think you're representing everybody.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to do a good job.
Well, I think you're doing quite well, actually, Gretchen. So, actually, we ask guests to email in questions for us for upcoming guests, and we actually have a couple questions for you, if you don't mind answering some.
Absolutely. I'll do my best.
All right. Well, it says here, sometimes they're comments, too, but here it is. The first one is, every family in my sphere has lost many adult members at the hands of this horrible disease, but I was not aware of how many children were afflicted with cancer until I received this PR release. Could you explain to us the types of cancers that most prevalent for children? Do you believe that our environment or nutritional changes in our culture are all responsible for the rise?
Well, I certainly would not. That's a hard one for me to answer because I'm not a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mother of a child who battled cancer and who actually lost his battle just a few months ago. I can tell you this. I grew up in a hippie family where we made our own yogurt and made our own granola. I didn't watch TV growing up. I've lived a very healthy lifestyle. There was not a gene that my husband and I passed along to my son. It just happened. I think that that's unfortunately one of the things about pediatric cancer that happens is it's just a bad shuffle of the deck of cards of genes that are coming together as an infant is developing.
Mm-hmm.
And while I am sure that environment plays a role somehow, some way in some types of cancer, my son wasn't around long enough for environment to play a role in his type of cancer.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's called the silent killer, as you were talking about earlier.
Well, it's one of the reasons why it's called the silent killer. Oops. Sorry about that. And it's also one of the reasons why we can't look at it the same way that we look at adult cancers. I mean, like I said earlier, you know, half jokingly, but very seriously, my son was not a 5-pack-a-day smoker. He did not live a slovenly lifestyle. He wasn't eating tons of fast food. He was a kid. I breastfed him for the first 14 months of his life. I did everything I was supposed to do, everything from picking the right car seat to making sure that, you know, the bedding was the right kind of bedding that he was using. I can't tell you that environment doesn't play a role in other types of cancer. I can tell you that my son lived about as healthy a lifestyle that any person his age could live.
And I think that's really important for parents to realize. You could be doing everything you can, and sometimes things just happen.
Exactly. Trust me, I would love to be able to point my finger at something. I think it was just the craziness of the way that his genes developed when he was in development. But it's the fact that it's the number one disease killer that just kills me.
Mm-hmm.
It kills me because, you know, think about the way that the March of Dimes, the original edict, I'm sure you've probably heard this story. So the March of Dimes was formed to try and go after polio because at the time, in the 40s and 50s, polio was the scourge of American children.
Mm-hmm.
It was the really scary disease. And so there was this call to have children across the country send in dimes to Washington, D.C., and then those dimes would be funneled to the scientists and researchers who were feverishly working on treatments to go after polio. And those dimes, collected by children from all over the U.S., helped to fund a researcher, a little-known researcher by the name of Jonas Salk. And we all know the end of the story. He is the one who came up with the cure for polio. It's the same story. We're going after the scourge of children.
Mm-hmm.
Pediatric cancer, I'm just asking people to get involved in a slightly different way.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like one cookie at a time.
One cookie at a time.
Yeah, and we have another guest question here. It says, I've been a supporter of Children's Miracle Network for many years and was wondering if your organization was associated with them in any way. Also, are there any larger national organizations that are dedicated to addressing children's cancer cure? And I ask this because I've heard so little about the children's cause from the American Cancer Institute.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Children's Miracle Network, you know, it's funny. Years ago, I worked at a public relations firm, and that was one of the main organizations that one of our clients supported. I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with Children's Miracle Network support to know whether or not they're involved with pediatric cancer. So I'm sorry I can't answer that question. I wish I could. I know that they're a great organization, just like I think that Make-A-Wish is a phenomenal organization as well. Absolutely love them and support them and hail what they do. In terms of the other part of the question is other national pediatric cancer foundations. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Right. They wanted to know if there are any national organizations that are also dedicated to addressing children's cancer cures.
Well, the two main ones are a great organization called St. Baldrick's Foundation. And I love St. Baldrick's, but what they do is they encourage people to shave their heads. And that's how they raise money. If you said, I'm going to shave my head, how much will you donate towards me shaving my head? Mm-hmm. That's how they do it. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I love the concept of St. Patrick's, but not everybody wants to shave their head. So, you know, you can bake cookies or you can shave your head. Either one works. It's a great organization, and we absolutely love what they're doing and love the way their foundation is set up. The other organization is called Alex's Lemonade Stand, and it's another just phenomenal organization that we couldn't speak more highly of.
And how does that work? I'm not familiar with that. I think I've heard about it, but I can't recall where.
See, that's what kills me. I mean, here I was in the world of pediatric cancer. I had a child who was fighting the disease, and yet when I had this idea to bake all of these cookies, mm-hmm. I had never heard of St. Baldrick's, and I had never heard of Alex's Lemonade Stand. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm in the world. Imagine how crazy that is. I mean, you would think that I would know about it. Now, obviously, now I'm a little bit more involved, and I certainly know all the wonderful things that they're working on. But what that proves to me more than anything is that we haven't scratched the surface yet in terms of getting the word out about this disease. Because if we had, you would be able to name those two organizations off the top of your head.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we're not there yet. You know, we are so not there yet, but we're getting there. And the crazy thing, like I said before, is that we're making a difference. I know of kids who are receiving this treatment that first $420,000 went to. I never in my wildest dreams imagine that by baking cookies, or just getting involved and being a good cookie, that we could have an impact on children's lives.
Well, and talking about being a good cookie, can you give us your website again and let us know how do people sign up to be a good cookie and how do they do this?
Anybody can be a good cookie. So the organization website is kind of long, so make sure you have a big piece of paper, or if you're writing on your arm, don't write on your palm because it won't fit. But come on, I know you've done that at some point, right?
Oh, I won't say I ever did that in school or not, but...
So it is www.cookies4, and that's F-O-R, not the number 4, but cookies4kidscancer.org. So cookies4kidscancer.org. And when you go to the website, hopefully what people will see is all kinds of information and a great resource center of different types of events you can have, where to register if you want to hold an event, where you can get information from about what other people have done. You can read stories of children who are currently battling cancer. You can read a blog that has posts from other people who have gotten involved and what they have done. And there's also signs that are downloadable. There's all kinds of information on there. What we wanted to do was to make it as easy as possible for people to get involved.
Mm-hmm. When I love, too, it says host a bake sale. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So once they go online and they do that, do they get a copy of your cookbook? Do they use your recipes? Do they use their own? How does that work?
Yeah, I think the publisher would kill me if they got a copy of the cookbook right away. And remember, the cookbook has only been on sale since September 12th,
oh, wow.
And already it has gone into its third printing, which
That's fabulous. Just
completely astounded.
Now, and do all the profits from this book also go towards the cancer research?
100% of the author profits go directly to pediatric cancer research. I could never look my son in the eye when I see him again. And like I said, unfortunately, he lost his battle.
I'm so sorry.
And I know. It's awful. And look at him and feel good about myself if I took one penny of the profit from this. So, no, I mean, it's... I'm not doing this for money for me. I'm doing it to make things better for others, because that's exactly what my son would want me to do. And I know that is the very first question he will ask me when I see him again. Mm-hmm. He'll want to know, Mommy, did you make it better for others? Because Liam would never understand why we as a nation wouldn't do something about a problem that impacts so many children. It just would dumbfound him, and he would not be able to understand that. So he'll want to know, what did we do?
Well, we could definitely tell where your inspiration comes from.
He was an amazing child.
And your passion. Now, what are any of the lessons you've learned since being on this incredible and uplifting and sometimes sad journey?
Gosh, you know, I think that there's a couple of lessons that I've learned. I think the first is to dare to dream. And to dream big. I mean, before Liam was diagnosed, before I had gone through this, I never in a million years would have thought that I could bake almost 100,000 cookies and that I could organize a project like this. I would have been too scared. I would have been too afraid of failure to have done something like that. But after you go through what I went through with Liam as his mother, who loves him so much, I really felt like anything was possible, just absolutely anything. And I think that we should all take a lesson in that. So I think the idea of daring to dream big is one lesson that I've taken away. And the other idea is to never forget to love, and that if love is your guide, if you lead your heart with love, you can never go wrong.
Yeah, I just was thinking about how sweeter the cookies are and anything that you do when it's made from a place of love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you can't go wrong if love is what's driving you. I mean, it makes you work harder, it makes you try harder, it makes you have empathy for people, it makes you do the right thing. It's really, to me, it's the only way to live, and it's the way that my son lived. And I am so proud of him and so proud of what he showed other people. I mean, he was 6 years, 8 months, 9 days old when he lost his battle, and yet his memorial service had 900 people in attendance, 120 firefighters from the New York City Fire Department, because he had just captured so many hearts with the simple message of love and to be a good cookie.
Yeah, I didn't want to make a pun or anything. I was just thinking, that's so sweet. And it's like, and the cookies are sweet too. And I think it's a wonderful testament that lives on with every cookie that's baked and every cookie that's sold. And so again, if you're interested in becoming a good cookie and hosting a bake sale and help raising money for Kids Cancer with the Cookies for Kids Cancer bake sales, again, go to the website, real easy, www.cookies, C-O-O-K-I-E-S, for F-O-R, kids, K-I-D-S, cancer, K-A-N-C-E-R.org. And again, they have step-by-step, and you could post your bake sales on their actual website on their monthly thing. Now, do you also do mail order?
We do. We have these beautiful gift boxes of cookies, and we can send, we only make the cookies, they're fresh baked, for each order. So we don't have cookies sitting around on a shelf, and if an order comes in, then we pull it off of a shelf. And they're made with in partnership with a bakery that's actually in Northern California, sort of in your neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. And they bake each dozen, I promise you, with a lot of love, and they're made fresh to order. And they come with a great little gift card that explains the significance of the cookies, and you can include a gift note in them. And again, 100% of the profit of those cookies goes directly to pediatric cancer research.
Well, I'm glad you said they're baked with love, too. So obviously the people that are baking the cookies for you also know where they're coming from and why they're doing it.
Oh, they've literally become part of the family, and we couldn't do what we do without them. And I absolutely adore them.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, being a parent yourself and being around other parents, and you mentioned one of the things you learned is daring to dream big. Mm-hmm. Any specific advice to other parents on how they can help their kids dream bigger?
You know, I am the parent that my girlfriends, my other mommy friends, say that they're glad to know, and they are so glad that they are not, because nobody wants to be in the shoes of a parent of a child battling cancer. It's just so scary. But I think that one of the lessons that people learn when they meet me or hear the story about cookies is how you can never forget. I mean, it's carpe diem. You can never forget to live for today. Don't wait for tomorrow. If your child asks you for 100 kisses at night, don't look at your watch and wonder whether or not you can do it. Give your child 100 kisses. If they ask for just one more story, why not just read one more story? You can never get time back. And I can't tell you how much I wish I could have time back so that I could just love my son one more day, but I can't. And so therefore, you have to learn to live in the moment, and you have to learn to love your children with every ounce of love that you have.
And I think by giving them those 100 kisses and taking that time to read that extra story, those kids know that they're special.
Exactly.
And they're worth it, and it really helps them to feel important in the lives of their parents.
Right, exactly. And I think that one of the reasons why my son, Liam, was just so incredibly, no matter who he met, he would impact that person's life, whether it was the cab driver who was taking us across town to the hospital, whether it was the policeman on the street directing traffic, whether it was the person at the grocery store at the checkout counter, whether it was the clerk at Costco when Liam would ask a million questions about how the pneumatic tubing system works. He just had such a sweetness and love and energy about him that people felt it and they responded. But I believe that came from a foundation of love and having so much love that it never occurred to him to be anything other than vivacious and have the most personality and just be so engaged in life.
Mm-hmm.
How could you ask for anything more?
I don't think you can. And right. You would hope all your kids would inspire and come with that kindness and love, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We try.
Now, on the cookbook, where can people go to find? You said it was just published just a few weeks ago. It just came out.
Brand new, yep.
You're in your third printing of it. And where can they go to find this?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think you can go to all of the usual suspects where you would find great books. You can also go to Barnes & Noble. You can go to Amazon.com. But because it's a cookbook, you'll find it at stores like a Williams-Sonoma or like a local kitchen store. Gosh, what is the one that's in your area? There's a fantastic kitchen store in your area that I heard is carrying the book. So every once in a while, I see a list of who's carrying the book. So I think a wide range of retailers, not only bookstores, but also kitchen stores that offer cookbooks, mm-hmm. is a place where you can find them.
Yeah, and how much is it selling for, do you know?
Well, I know the suggested retail is $19.99.
Oh, wow.
So think about it. I know for $19.99, you get more than 60 recipes. You get more than a cookbook. You get a book that has all of these inspirational stories. You get tons of how-to tips. Plus, it tells the whole story about how this happened. And it's a hardcover book, and it has color photographs, gorgeous color photographs in it. I mean, it's a bargain. And to know that the proceeds of the book are benefiting a cause just makes you feel good about giving.
Absolutely. It absolutely does. And, you know, how better? My mouth dropped when you said $19.99. I'm thinking, really? I mean, I go look at cookbooks all the time. They're usually so much more, and this is benefiting so many people and the money going to research to help more kids that have cancer. And our guest today, Gretchen, I want to thank you so much for being here today and sharing what you're doing and what you've created and what a wonderful legacy for Liam to pass along to many others to help other children. So thank you so much. Gretchen
Absolutely.
Is the founder of this wonderful organization, Cookies for Kids Cancer. She also has created the new book that you just heard about, where you could get it, the Cookies for Kids Cancer Best Bake Sale Cookbook. And if you'd like to join and be a good cookie, you could go to the website again. That's www.cookiesforkidscancer.org. And if you'd like more information from that, you could also go to our website, answersforthefamilyblog.com. And it is answers with the number four, thefamilyblog.com. Thank you again on behalf of Alan Cardoza, who unfortunately wasn't able to be with us today, and myself, Dr. Melody Fox. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Answers for the Family. And thank you again, Gretchen.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox, right here on LA Talk Radio.